going on there, so.
Of course, you know, whether the person is, that we got into the discussion of, okay, are they a former client, you know, and so I don't know how to succinctly say, but we discussed it in depth, and the concern is definitely there. And so.
I know I would lose my job immediately if I ever tried that, so.
Well, to my knowledge, there is not a person who is dating someone who is their client.
Hey, Pearl, since we've, the commission has not adopted the, you know, the Rule 4 of the Code of Conduct and all that stuff, I mean, is, can an, I mean, what is the limits to what an employee can be, you know, reprimanded, since there's no formal manual of.
Okay, we do have workplace policies. They are the carryover from Health and Human Services, as well as the contract and state regulations. So,
yeah, in fact, we received some of those.
Yes,
you know, while back when we requested.
Yeah, but let me go ahead and finish answering that. There are requirements within those documents for professional conduct with clients, and we do reprimand. And there have been situations where we have reprimanded the individual, and you know, so, and if need, we can discipline. We in fact have let a person go, or gratefully accepted their resignation, I should say, after a couple of counseling sessions with their supervisor and myself. So we do address it definitely.
See, whether it's their client or just a client of the agency, to me, it doesn't make any difference if they're a client of the agency. You know, it's the client of all the counselors.
We've had a lot of discussion about that, and how do you, you know, how does that all work? It is a little more complicated in the blindness field, because this. Actually, a strength of the blindness field has been, at least in our kinds of agencies, is that it's not a big, huge separation between client and the all-knowing professional and the subservient client. But I definitely agree with you about the roles that, you know, there is power over in the way many bureaucracies are set up, and sometimes as kind of a, I don't know if it's a sort of a subconscious thread that runs through even in the most advocacy-oriented agencies. But we are very involved with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, many of us are blind consumers, and those of us who aren't blind consumers also are very involved with mm-hmm. the whole community of blind folks. So, mm-hmm. It, you know, is somebody a client? Are they a former client? Are they a staff person now? It does get rather complicated, mm-hmm. But it's something we take seriously, and we do address when there's a situation that is not appropriate.
Well, the person I'm thinking of is staff person now, and the client is a client now, and you know, I wouldn't want to see this person fired or anything, but give her an opportunity to say, hey, and you're going to have to choose or discharge the client from services.
Carlos, do you want to speak to this, you know, how we have dealt with appropriate situations, and
yeah,
and so
I realize that you have. Mm-hmm. You have done that.
Right.
Yeah. But
I don't know if there's something you could add that would help.
Well, when I check around with other entities and across also the country, not every state, but some, one of the main emphasis they make is as long as that client is not working directly on that person or under that district or in our case, district, it shouldn't be a problem if the person is not interfering in the goal of the client or the decision of the other counselors. the counsel of the client.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Yeah, that's...
I couldn't understand.
Oh.
Half of what I said.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Carlos, I couldn't hear half of what you said.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Part of it's my hearing, part of it is your accent.
Right.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say, I'm going to put it in different words. What I checked with some states and also with the state here is that as long as this client is not a client of that district, or the person, the counselor, is not interfering with the progress or the decision that the direct counselor is making toward this client, it shouldn't be a problem.
Hmm.
But I guess each state has their own regulations and...
Sure, sure. What I would just like to see is maybe have an attorney help write us up a code of ethics in that manner, dealing specifically with professional staff and clients, regardless. Is that possible, Pearl?
I don't know if we could have an attorney unless it's someone on the board. I know that, the Attorney General's office serves as the attorney for departments such as ours.
Mm-hmm.
They don't exactly allow a lot of time to really provide that kind of support for us.
Well,
and so we would, if there were, certainly I would want the board, including the two attorneys that are on the board, to give their input and perspective.
Well, doesn't there's government agencies now in Nebraska that, comparable, similar. I mean, their code of ethics would certainly be a starting place.
Right, and that's what I was basing my...
Now, right. Carlos, when you said in as long as they're in a not in that district, so you mean like if a counselor in Lincoln dated a client in Omaha?
Right, shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Hmm.
As long as the client is, because... Well, if that client is a client of the Omaha district.
Right.
The main point is it's not their immediate counselor that they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's an area that we need a lot of discussion on. We need mm-hmm. adequate time to explore,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
You all need to have read some of what we work with first.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
right.
I'm just
looking at the future,
Well, let me tell you that we have definitely made a change in the expectations from the past, and mm-hmm. we have made it clear to our staff, mm-hmm. and we've had discussion where the staff, took part as well. So it's not something we take lightly at all,
mm-hmm.
and we will end up with, whether the actual, how detailed the workplace policies get, kind of the advice really from the Attorney General's office and the rules people is you don't want to get too specific, because then, it kind of, in a sense, almost allows for too many more exclusions or exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the whole rulemaking process, as you know, is very complicated, but we are definitely going to end up with a good, solid workplace policy. I'll give you an example of a situation that is very high in my mind as we look at this. There was an individual at that worked for State Corrections as a guard who fell asleep on duty and was disciplined. He grieved the process and, in fact, won because their rules did not talk about falling asleep on duty, which seems incredible to us,
sense,
but one would think. So the whole question of what is common sense and what works and what you put into your rule or don't, it's really tricky. Then in 2 years when every 2 years the NAEP AFSCME contract is renegotiated, there can be changes in that could negate something that would be in our rule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an easy process, but I certainly agree with you about the importance of that counselor-client role, and we don't want it to be a role where it's a power over, you know, no power. But we do know that there is, you know, there still is interaction between the two that has to do with expectations and, mm-hmm. and just the role of the counselor mm-hmm. that's different. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, we're definitely working on that.
I would sure think personnel or health and human services, where there's counsel, a lot of different counseling systems, that they've had to have a rule on this previously with counselors with their clients and social workers with their clients and so forth. There's got to be a rule somewhere in the state.
Well, and the truth is, we operating under the HHS as we do now, it really does fit very well because they have individuals that are in positions with their clients and cases that have a lot of the same kinds of concerns. So our policies now do address appropriate, what's acceptable and what you can be disciplined for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would think if it's a former client, it wouldn't be a big deal, but you know, if it's somebody that's currently a client or thinking about, yeah, that might be an issue.
Well, it could mm-hmm. be a big deal if under the right circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, I bet.
Yeah.
You're my way or else.
So, I'm not sure
that we can really do anything more. I mean, we've opened the discussion, and you know, and I think you know, mm-hmm. Pearl is aware of it, and I think at this point, mm-hmm. you know, we can wait to receive drafts and make our comments and so forth in relation to those. So.
I think that would be great.
Yep,
I agree. One more goal to report on. My goal to. Objective two is finalizing the development of a performance review tool, and we do now have a tool that will be useful to employees and their supervisors, and supervisors do now have it, and throughout this year we're going to begin implementing the use of that performance review tool at the anniversary date of the employee. So that's things are always tweaked where we live, but we've got a very good tool that we're working with now.
One thing that comes to mind that might be good to keep the commissioners informed on, I mean, if there's grievances internally, then that's working its way up through the system. That's not what we need. But if there's grievances and then they go beyond, you know, into the appeal process, I think that might be something that we should be kept appraised of. You know, if it's internal, then it's internal. But if it's, you know, if it goes into the appeal process, then it's probably something, you know, an issue that, you know, we should at least get some kind of information on.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up because I've really been kind of struggling with how to and in what. At what levels to give you all the information. I don't think that it's reasonable to bring things up to bring personnel issues up at a public meeting. If you email, there's always the risk that somehow it can accidentally get emailed on to somebody else. I mean, we'd have to struggle with that. We could, whenever there is a situation, request that you go into an executive session in which I could brief you. But I agree with you, Bob. I really would like to keep you all appraised of situations, and have, you know, in some ways in past situations, but haven't quite felt like we had a good system to really do that well. So what?
I would like to see it where the staff person could be and tell their side of the story too, you know. Does that make sense?
Well, the staff person certainly can, and I know has told their story to the board at various times in the past.
No, I'm talking about the future.
I know. Well, what I'm saying is they can do that anytime they want, and they do. if we actually were going to have it, in a sense, added as a step to the process, where, when you say tell their side of the story too, is kind of, to me, I hear you saying, if we go into executive session, you want to hear, quote unquote, my side of the story and their side of the story. In a sense, to me, that adds another level of the grievance process, and I don't know whether that's, I mean...
I think, you know, my thought was just for us to know what's going on.
Yes.
If we have additional questions and or concerns, then that's something that we could deal with on a case by case. But
right.
I know there was, you know, a case that happened last summer, you went into appeal process, and I, you know, I'm not sure exactly how it, you know, was all resolved out, and I heard some different things, but you know, I just think it, I'd like to know more from the horse's mouth.
Right.
You know,
I can tell you that did not go to the appeal process level, but I'd be glad to update you on that specific situation. I think it would be best done in an executive session.
Yeah, I agree.
And we could do that today. I'd be glad to update you.
Okay, I think that'd be useful because I know there was a lot of, you know, a lot of histrionics came out
yes.
of that, and I'm not
right.
sure exactly, you know, what all is true and hearsay and so on. So yeah, I think that'd be useful.
Mm-hmm. And maybe what we should do is whenever there is a grievance process in the works, that I would email you all that there is something in the works that I'd like to report on, and then at the next meeting, I mean, if it was more urgent, we'd do something different, but if it were to give you the update, then at least you'd know there was something in the works, and you could kind of plan that there would be an executive session part of the agenda at the upcoming meeting. Would that work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, let's do that.
Can I have a question, Madam Chairperson?
Yes. So far, we've kind of abandoned the... I know you're going to say your name, which I appreciate.
Yeah. This is Fatou.
Thank you.
I was wondering about the kind of what the legality on the staff was. I mean, if you're going to do that, then the staff needs to know that that's going to happen, that the grievance process already... that we're going to inform the commissioners. I don't think that we should do that without the staff's knowledge.
This is Pearl. You know, that's a good point. We really need to double check
exactly
what the requirements are in the contract.
Yes.
I mean, as director of the commission, I'm informed when there are disciplinary issues in process. And you all, of course, govern the commission, so probably, I mean, I did check a couple years ago when we had a situation that was particularly not a good thing. But it'd be good to just check again and make absolutely sure what is the, you know, what should we do and what should we not do, so we can check on that. And then, as Bob pointed out in a similar, or somebody else said, I mean, there are other commissions similar to us that are governed by a board, and we can see what is acceptable within the state.
And if we find out, I think staff needs to know about it.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, what, mm-hmm. yes.
That's what, I'm not disagreeing or agreeing, I'm mm-hmm. just saying that if we are going to add that step, then staff needs to know about that.
Mm-hmm. But now, no, there's a difference. I do not see us adding a step to the grievance process. That whole thing is very well negotiated within the contract. This, what I do believe there we have a right to do is inform the board.
Yeah, I meant as a, I didn't mean as a grievance step.
Oh,
I meant
okay.
as a, we're going to take an action like that. I think
I see.
Staff needs to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come to the committee.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the staff would be informed of what we end up doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more if you know, we're going to have a little judiciary meeting and have his side, their side, whose
mm-hmm.
side, That's, I don't know if we want to get into that, but I just think notification, just to know what, because, you know, you hear stuff, and I think we shouldn't have to guess what's going on with those kinds of issues.
I agree.
We should hear what exactly is happening.
A brief statement saying that this is what's happening, and, because details, that's up for some attorney, other attorneys to deal with, or the contract, or whoever.
Yes, you know, our responsibility is not to micromanage and that kind of thing. Our responsibility is to know what the executive director we have hired is doing. And I can, at this point anyway, get my mind around the notion that our knowing that kind of thing as part of what the executive director is doing makes sense. Mm-hmm. Our knowing about those things, or, you know, knowing anything else about it, to me goes beyond the scope of what we're responsible for.
Yeah, we shouldn't be mediating these things.
That's what I guess that's what I, the point I was trying to make.
Yeah. And actually, it's kind of gone the opposite direction of what you're hearing, because I have felt unable to really, you know, I've really tried to value the confidentiality for our employees and not bring you little steps of things, but then you get calls from employees, and so it really is an awkward position for you as well as for me in terms of what we can do. But Barbara, what you said is what I was thinking too.
Yes, and we've talked about you know, that kind of thing as a commission board, and my automatic question to anyone who calls me, and you know, to some degree people say, well, probably hardly anybody will, and I say, okay, if that's how that is, then that's probably how it ought to be. I don't get much from the grapevine, but that's because I don't give to it either. But my response to anyone who calls me about a situation that is happening within the day-to-day workings of the Commission for the Blind is to ask the person if it's a staff person, if they have talked with their supervisor, or if so, have they talked with Pearl? And if the answer is no to any of that, I just really point blank say to people, you know, at this level, then this is none of my business. And, you know, that's what you really need to do. That system exists for a reason. And part of the reason has to do with that human beings work better that way. Part of it has to do with the fact that accountability is a good thing on both sides. And part of it has to do with setting boundaries. And if we don't help set those boundaries, then we're not doing our job either. And, you know, I really think that everything that we do, as we've talked about before this morning, we're a pretty small entity in the whole scheme of things. And we need to be willing to abide by the kinds of mechanisms that are set up so that they have a chance of working.
Madam Chairperson?
Yes.
This is Fatosh. The other thing is really important for you as commissioners to realize some of the stuff you're hearing is very confidential. And you are, of course, and we're glad, that you're very much involved with the blindness community. It's a very small community. And some of your spouses are involved. And I think it is important that you don't even discuss that with your spouse. That's always been my goal last 8 years, that I don't discuss any agency with my husband because he's very much involved. So, or the client knowledge. So, I mean, I think you all need to realize that the leak might be coming from the commissioners too.
Well, since I'm not hearing anything, I can plead,
me either,
you know, innocent on that. But I think it's a point well taken that, you know, that we, if we're going to be kind of the leaders in this experiment, which the whole, you know, life is, with respect to how the Commission for the Blind is going to be governed and that sort of thing, then we need to set the kind of example that we want to have everybody else in the whole scheme of things behaving. Because people do look to us for that kind of leadership. And part of our role is to try to help people to know when it is that it's appropriate to talk with us and when it frankly isn't. And there are times when it just isn't.
Our responsibility is to make sure that there's a good process in place. We're not into outcomes necessarily, but if there's a process and they went to the person, you know, but if the process isn't working, then that's...
Now that is our bailiwick, because we're supposed to deal with policies and that kind of thing, and then we do need to do something.
That's right. If they feel like they've won those rounds and weren't listened to, I think they have a right to come to the board. And it should be known. And I've had a friend of a friend, you know, apply for a job. And I called this, the friend of the friend, and said, hey, tell that person, go back and talk to the person who interviewed them. You know, there's nothing we can do. It's kind of like they want other people to fight their battles for them. And
that's not our place.
That's not our place.
I would also encourage you to remind them that there are very clear processes in the law in terms of interviewing and hiring rights, and once you're an employee, the process is very, very clearly laid out in the contract. So, you know, and it's lots of steps and lots of details, and only a personnel attorney can rattle them off.
But
you're not going to know all the details of the step, or, you know, I mean, encourage you to read the contract if you'd like. It's all clearly laid out.
No, I think you're missing the point.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about one thing, I'm talking about another.
All right.
You know, I had a gal from Omaha call me because she thought her friend was overlooked for a position. And I called this gal back and said, tell your friend to go back and talk to the person who interviewed her and ask why she didn't get hired. You know,
yes.
Yeah, and that there is, I think, was very appropriate.
I agree. I wasn't disagreeing with that. I was just attempting to add that also encourage them, if for some reason they try to call and their calls never get returned or whatever, there is a process anybody can read and know what the steps are. So I was just adding to yours, not disagreeing with it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the end of my report.
Okay. All right, well, you know.
Carlos, just one more thing on your goal 1 year.
Yes.
Employment. You are also working with NCSEVI, I guess, on the employment committee, and you asked me to be part of that, so just for the board information.
Thank you, yes. At the national level.
Ideas from me.
Right, thank you.
So that's the Council of State.
There's two things. The NCSAB, National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, I am on the employment committee of that. But then also the CSAVR, Council of State Administrators of Voc Rehab, which includes all the Voc Rehab agencies, not just the blind. And I'm also on that employment committee. And the next committee meeting, I'll be gone. And so I've asked Carlos to sit in on that conference call. And with that, we're really working on a partnership between state agencies, state rehab agencies, and corporate businesses, the national corporations, to, you know, so that each state that works with a Marriott, for example, isn't having to reinvent the wheel if there are things that they're doing in New Jersey that we can plunk into Nebraska and vice versa, that there really would be a corporate connection. So
Red Cross for that matter.
Pardon me?
The Red Cross?
Red Cross, yes.
That's so,
yeah.
Now, have those businesses, we got the email about the, some of that partnering kind of thing going on or whatever. Has that material also gone to the friends of the commission? I mean, are there any kinds of ways that... That connection would make sense, or am I really confused?
That's a nugget of something that would make a lot of sense, I think. I don't remember exactly what I've sent to whom, so I can't really answer your question, but and I don't know that there's anything really solid there yet, so I'm not sure, but something we could keep in mind for making sure that any information related to working with corporations goes to friends.
Pearl, I have a question. As far the situation came to my attention that, and I don't know if it's totally true, but it seems so outrageous, and I just wondered from a commission standpoint, how to proceed. Say a person seeking employment basically is told by a corporation, in almost straightforward, that you know we're just not going to hire blind people. What would, I mean, you know, the commission or the attorney general? I mean, what would be the commission's power or role in you know with that kind of information?
Okay. Well, first of all, we would certainly like to be in touch with the employer and try to educate the employer, and whether that would be the counselor or a supervisor or a placement specialist in the area. I mean, we don't have that specific role, but we have staff who specialize in placement in their district or their office, or the deputy director would be the most immediate contacts. You know, at some point, I could certainly also get involved with working with that employer, working with that corporation to educate and to make the change there. If it's a technology issue and concern or confusion, you know, we'd get our technology people in there and involved. And we actually have done all of these steps of things. If the person really feels that their rights have been, you know, denied and they have a legal kind of a case, that's not our expertise, and they should go to.
So they pursue it individually through EEOC or something. There's not the commission being the for the blind and visually impaired. They're really.
This is Carlos. Yeah, you are right. However, we can advise them where to go.
Right.
Some resources like consumer organizations as well.
But
right.
As far as having the attorney general at our disposal, that's really not the case.
That's right. That's really not the case. If something actually went to court, say against the agency, then yes, the Attorney General's office would serve as our attorney. But at any lower level, so to speak, and actually, if it's an individual whose rights were denied, you know, that isn't the Attorney General, in a sense, is our attorney, not the blind person's attorney. But yes, Carlos is right. I mean, we would work with the person to help them know what routes are available for them. And we'd probably be doing that at the same time as we're trying to also see what changes we could make within that employer setting.
So the counselors are all trained in all the legal and judicial remedies, possibilities?
No, they probably can't rattle them off the top of their head, but they know that they could talk to Carlos and find out what they should be telling the person, or I'm sure some of the folks are very well versed and others aren't. You know, but all of our folks are good at finding answers for situations.
Okay.
So it's Robert Dillon. There are definitely some of the staff here that have been around for a while. Our supervisors are really experienced, you know, folks, and they usually know it all. I really And again, some of us have been around long enough and seen this sort of thing happen, so we've the staff do usually consult the staff when we go to our areas, and the knowledge is there.
That's a good thing.
Good, Robert. Thank you.
Pearl?
You need to ask Barbara first.
You need to get Barbara's attention.
I'm sorry. Barb?
Yes.
This is Cindy Agman. And I had a situation around Christmas time, November, October, let's say. I'm sorry. I work at P.F. Chang's Chinese Bistro. And there was a computer situation that came up that the general manager that I work for, he wanted to promote me to type in codes from gift certificates of the restaurant. And I called Jonathan about this issue. Jonathan was nice enough to come out. We all talked. But with the technology, first of all, they have like a touch on screens. You've probably seen them in drugstores or grocery stores. They don't have keyboards anymore. You just
yes.
do it by touch on the screen, what category you want. Jonathan and the general manager tried to work together on that in order for me to be responsible for that position, but it wasn't doable. And I was wondering, is there some way that the commission can get the staff updated to keep up with the technology in order for, because I had to turn down the position because I wasn't unable to do it. And I just was wondering, is there a way in the future that, like Jonathan?
Some of the requirements, though, Cindy, are beyond this, what's available in technology for blind adaptation now.
Yeah, I think that the technology personnel at the commission are probably on the cutting edge of most of what's really out there and available. There are some things that just aren't right now. At a personal level, I'm working with my oven at home, you know, that has one of those display things that doesn't really beep all the time, and it doesn't, you know, and so, I mean, you know, thermostats and things. I mean, there are a lot of those kinds of things just even in everybody's day-to-day experience that we have people not only in agencies but in consumer organizations as well who are working on trying to find ways to keep up with that kind of technology so that we can have access to it. And some things just aren't yet at that point anywhere, and so it's possible that's one of those deals. I mean, you know, we have even in the schools and stuff, we have people saying, okay, you're required to get Braille material to me. Well, that's true, but that also involves human beings getting it transcribed, getting it out on time, and it also begins with the teacher having a lesson plan, you know, and having the stuff to whoever needs to transcribe it. You know, it's not an altogether level playing field, as the saying goes, at this point, which is one of the reasons that we continue to work with each other to try to improve all of that. But some things just aren't there yet. And I guess one of the things that we can all help each other with is if we trust the people who we're working with to give their best effort. And if their best effort says, you know what, this just isn't really doable, we can continue to network like you're doing now and ask different people and all of that. But if we ask it from a position of, you know, we trust the people who are working with us, we just wonder if somebody, because nobody can know everything in spite of what Robert said about people knowing it all. none of us really does. And so we just keep asking questions until we get to either a consensus or we make progress because there are enough of us who are saying, okay, let's try to get this changed, and we find somebody who knows how to do that. But in the meantime, that probably just is one of those things that isn't currently doable.
Well, I just was wondering, in the near future, are they planning to, like for Jonathan, for instance, get him
educated to see if there's some programs that can be adaptable.
Well, he's forever looking at various options and what's out there. I mean, that's his thing, to be looking at that stuff, to be aware of it, to be, you know. And so I'm sure that if there is that stuff out there, he and his resource people will be finding it and letting us know. And if we find something, you know, like if you hear about something that looks like it's a doable thing, let him know about that, because he can't be everywhere doing everything either. And part of the whole job of making this thing work is that each of us, if we find a piece of information that we think is useful, and we don't know if he knows it or not, or if you know, anybody on the tech staff or whatever knows, we can just send him a little email, say, hey,
that's right,
are you familiar with this? I don't know, is this real? So we can all do that.
But employers aren't expected to do the impossible. It's just reasonable accommodation. So if there's no reasonable accommodation, they can't be held to any standard in that situation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have to keep up with the times. And I was just wondering, in the future, I'm not saying at the present, in the future, isn't it possible that, you know, they can get educated and...
I hope somewhere in the future there will be a car that can drive without a sighted driver. And if there is one, I want to do it. You know, I really believe that is going to happen in the future.
I do too.
And I really think that this business of handling these touch screens is probably a doable thing too. But we're just, you know, we just have to keep working on it. And you know, I'm glad that you came and brought that to our attention. And you know, if someone finds something that works, I'm sure we'll be letting people know that, hey, that's out there now.
Pearl.
Yes.
We do have an in-service training grant that we reapply for each year. And as a part of that, we do send our technology staff to national meetings that have demonstrations of the latest technology, as well as workshops and you know, any number of training opportunities. We are always looking for what opportunities are out there and sending our staff.
Okay. Well, Robert, I just got one more thing to say. Now, Cindy, you're one person and you've experienced that, and God love you. You know, we've all been there. But just know that us staff, we see it. You are just one person where we have many, many clients. So we often see the things that we come up against, you know, all of us blind folks, that just don't work. So where you see it once or twice in a year or in your life, I bet we'll see it a dozen or two dozen times as counselors. So we feel it even stronger than you. So we are compelled on a daily basis almost to do what Barbara was saying, is I'm forever finding stuff on the internet and emailing it to Jonathan, and he does the same thing, and I get stuff from Glenn Urban, and we all get stuff from Glenn Urban. He's a mole out there digging up tech stuff all the time. So, and we're all on these technical lists and stuff, so we try to find as much as we can.
Oh, I have nothing against Jonathan.
Oh,
he's
no,
wonderful.
You don't. Yeah. But just...
Or any of the staff members.
But your experience, your feeling, Bolivia, I've felt it.
I just lost a raise because of it.
That's I hear you.
Yeah,
and we're used... Where that just happened to you, we've seen it happen to a dozen people over the last couple of months. Mm-hmm.
And
so
it happens all over the country. I mean, I know a person in Missouri who, you know, in effect got a demotion because the technological part of what was going on in his job, they decided on a new updated method of doing it, and it just wouldn't work with our stuff. And so he couldn't get that promotion, and it is a bummer. But we better move on, or we're going to be here till midnight.
I'm not. I'm leaving at 4.
You know, I
do. I am. I live at 4.
But I do
care.
Thank you for your comment. Excuse
thank
me?
You, Pearl. I do have the notice of the public hearing for that repeal of Title 206, and I wanted to give you those details for the record.
Uh-huh.
That is March 18th at... The public hearing is at 3:00 Central Time. It's to repeal the 206. Anyway, it's at the State Office Building, lower level, Conference Room D in Lincoln. so you have that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.